Michelle May is the bass player of The Makeup. Formed in the late 1990s, they combine garage rock, soul, and a self-styled liberation theology. We had the pleasure of sitting down with Michelle to talk about her influences, the early days of The Makeup, mysticism, healing, and the balance of music and self-awareness.
Thanks for joining. Really, really appreciate you do this.
Yeah, thank you.
So what was life like growing up in Olympia, Washington?
Well, I didn't grow up there. I grew up near there, but I didn't move there until I was in my early 20s, like 21. So in a way, I grew up there, if you count your 20s as formative years.
Where did you grow up then, actually?
Oh, a very small sort of rural town nearby called Centralia.
And how did you first get into music?
Well, I was just always in it. I grew up with very musical family members, and everyone played an instrument, and it was just sort of a natural thing for me to start playing an instrument, and bass just kind of came about in high school, randomly, actually. And then from there, one thing led to another, because I could play bass once I was in, a creative situation where there were people who needed that. And that was in Olympia, so.
Did you play music with your family?
I didn't, but my family did. I think, like, when I was actually hanging out with my family, everyone played an instrument, but back then I didn't. It wasn't until I was in high school, so at that point I wasn't really interested in playing with my family once I could play an instrument. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Now, yeah. Was bass your first instrument, and what were your influences, you know, when you first started playing?
Well, actually, bass was not my first instrument. My first instrument was an accordion. So I guess I did play that when I was younger, but that was sort of just how I learned how to read music and play music. And I was really, really young. And that was like one of the family instruments. So I played accordion and learned that way. Well, once I started playing bass and I got into music, like I guess sort of the music that I'm into now or whatever, what kind of started things off for me. I was, you know, I'm pretty older, so I was into the music of the 70s and then, of course, 80s. And then, you know, once I was probably in my later teens, I got into punk rock. So punk rock and alternative music.
Any specific bands in the punk rock, genre?
Oh, my, just so many. Just so many. I don't know. Like, that's always, that's always such a hard question for a person who plays music, because there are just so many influences and so many loves, and that is constantly changing. So, you know, if I were to go back into that time, you know, I could name a few top choices. Like, you know, I was really into Black Flag and Sonic Youth and at the time, Green River and Mudhoney, because they were local. And then, of course, I was also into, you know, Linda Ronstadt and AC/DC. So it's just like such a broad spectrum from back then.
It's true. Did you ever get into like Iggy and the Stooges or, you know?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. But a little bit later on, I think. Well, yeah, once I was just out of high school, I found out about them and got really into them, actually.
Cool. So, I mean, how did you first get in contact with The Makeup?
I don't know if this is how common this knowledge is, but the scene that I was in Olympia, you know, Bikini Kill and Bratmobile and Riot Girl scene, they also had a connection with Washington D.C. Many of those members of those bands lived here and there and would go back and forth. And when I was in a band in the Frumpies, which was a band with the Bikini Kill girls and the Bratmobile girl, I ended up, you know, touring, and we toured over here. And because they all knew these guys and spent time with these guys, and, you know, some of them even dated these guys, the Makeup guys, or at the time Nation of Ulysses, that was the connection. So one thing led to another when all of those bands were sort of changing into their new iterations, and we joined forces.
What were the early days like? I mean, I know you at least from your Wikipedia article and other articles, you relocated to D.C. What were the early days like with The Makeup? I mean, how often did you practice? And what was the creative process?
Makeup, really exciting. We worked really hard, and we just were in a total, we were really into it. It's just such a fun and fertile time for, you know, the music that we were trying to make. And I really enjoyed it. It was just like a total, intensely momentous time, you know, like momentum as in forward momentum. Like we were just going in the direction of that band. And really, when I first moved to DC, it was like that was what was happening. I was there to do that and just really went for it and immediately started playing, immediately bonded, and there was a dynamism to our playing together. And we started making music right away, and we toured within maybe the first 2 or 3 months of me coming out and joining with them. So it was just a really fun, and we were all the age that it was just also completely, you know, we weren't of the adult mind, which can get a little more organized and settled. We were raring to go. So we just adventured out into it without anything holding us back, I guess.
What was the songwriting like? I mean, was it sort of collaboration, or did you have different ideas you would pull together? You know, what was that like?
Yeah, it was collaborative. When I first came here and joined the Makeup, they had already been a band. So the first part of it was me learning their songs. And then once we decided to start writing music together, it was very much a collaborative effort. It very much just worked. There was no struggle. There was no clashing of styles or anything like that. We just bring our parts in and all add to them, and a song was a song within moments of ideas flying around. It was really cool and natural.
Well, yeah, I mean, the four of you at the time, such creative spirits. I mean, you know, obviously the Makeup has, you know, still has quite a buzz. You know, how would you describe the essence of the Makeup creatively, if you can?
I don't think I can. I don't know. I don't know what that, I don't know how to answer that question. It's really, it's like, it reminds me of that idea of the, you know, does a fish know it's in water, kind of, not really, but do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, I feel like someone else would have to answer that question. 'Cause when you're in it and, you know, it's, when we were creating music, it's been so long now, like we're playing again together, of course. And it's happening, but when we were really making music and had that creative drive, it was a while ago now. So I don't really like know how to comment or describe the, you know, that like what made us what we were. We were just, I don't know. It was, I don't know. It's hard to define, I guess.
Understand. Well, I mean, the music itself, it's sort of all over the place. I mean, thematically, you know. So yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So, as you picked up momentum within the Makeup, and I want to get on to some of your other interests as well, but in general, you know, what was it like being, you know, you're in music magazines, you're touring, you know, internationally. What was that experience like?
Well, it was really fun. It was just so much fun, and it was so free. I felt real liberation during that time. Like I said earlier, once you get to be sort of like locked into the adult ego and everything that goes with that, you're less adventurous. You have less of a sense of wonder. So I guess like the sense of wonder was still there, and it was just doing the thing to do the thing without caring about any repercussions, or, you know, it was like being of service to the world, like letting the creative spark move through you and interpreting it, without really trying to or knowing what you're doing. So it just felt fun and free, and it lasted like that for a really long time. It was just, you know, and also just being in the public eye was it didn't feel like, I don't know. I guess now I'm just so much more aware of what that means. And at the time, it was just doing the thing. We're just doing the creative thing, the music thing, the travel, and being this force that just was. So again, I kind of think it harkens back to the last question, where it's hard to define how it was then, since my perception of how it is now is probably very different. You know what I mean?
Understood, for sure. Yeah, for sure, for sure. The makeup evolved into the Scene Creamers. And Weird War. Why do girls like guys like that? She just laughed. How was that transition?
Weird. Well, you know, it felt, in one way, it felt really good, because it was, I guess when you're playing music, you always wonder what it would be like. Like, you're playing music and you are, like I said, or like in the public eye, and you have a good following, but you also wonder what it would be like to play with other people or to do other projects. So when things sort of naturally shifted to us doing another project, it felt kind of interesting and refreshing, but it wasn't the same dynamic. You know, we had such a very particular dynamic with makeup, so trying something else was all of a sudden like, oh, when you do things with other people, it's a very different outcome. And we loved it. It was fun, but it didn't really sit. There was not a there was no longevity to it, really. I mean, and obviously, Scene Creamers transformed and we became Weird War, but that Weird War in and of itself had many different member changes, and it was almost like different bands all the time.
Yeah, I know you had Neil Haggerty from the Royal Trucks, you had Sebastian from Trans Am, Alex from Golden. I mean, a lot of great interesting musicians. I mean, you know, I can, as actually remembering, as different recordings would come out, it did feel like a different band each time.
We were just trying to find our way into something, and it was really fun. We loved all the people and all of the different versions of those bands. It was cool. It was a fun time.
Yeah, well, it seems throughout that, obviously, you know, Ian and yourself were kind of like sort of the glue a little bit, in a way. I mean, I know Alex has been there with you for a bit too, but in general, there definitely was a Michelle and kind of Ian theme that sort of held through.
Yeah, definitely there was. Yes.
Now, when was the last time? I think makeup played in Barcelona. Was that 2017? Have you guys been performing at all since then? In any capacity?
Yeah, we haven't really stopped performing since then. Well, actually, since, I can't remember when we first got back together, but it's been like 5 years or something like that. But yeah, we've been playing pretty consistently. No big tours, but, you know, just little stints here and there, a lot of festivals. And we still have more shows coming up in the future. But yeah, we're still rolling along.
So what, you know, back when you're recording the makeup records, or even if involved at all recording with Weird War, what is the recording process like, with either act? Do you do a lot of sort of in-studio live recordings, or is it a lot of, you know, dubbing and overdubbing?
I mean, we've definitely recorded some albums organically, where we just go in and just actually start writing songs and record them on the spot. We did a whole album like that, actually. I think Sound Verite was all songs that we just started playing. And then we've done the other thing too, where we go in and take songs that have already been written and have done the overdubbing and, you know, the layering thing as well. Yeah, I guess we've kind of, you know, played with the whole spectrum of how to record up until Pro Tools was first becoming a thing. I think we used it on our last album ever. But, you know, using old analog equipment and recording and all the different ways that you do, I guess the process was just really traditional, nothing exciting except for that one album that we did that was off the cuff. That was a pretty fun thing to experience. And I think that was also really at the height of us just playing together and knowing each other so well that we could go in and just start writing songs and record them and have them be, have them sound okay and be okay to actually release an album.
Yeah, it is kind of like a relationship, right? I mean, you know, you spend time with each other, and you sort of can read each other when you're playing. It's something magical about that.
Oh yeah, there's definitely magic in that.
So I know you're actively involved in mysticism and yoga. Have those always been interests for you?
Yeah, they have. They have. Yeah, since I was a kid.
Now, I know in your Sacred Expanse site in your bio, it says you've been moved to help people expand their sense of sacred awareness. I know you said something about wanting to strike a balance with music and such, but can you elaborate on expanding someone's sense of awareness, or sacred awareness, rather?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, you know, everything I've talked about, I think that music and mysticism go together. They go hand in hand. And if you listen to pretty much any band lyrics, mysticism comes out at some point, even if the person delivering the lyric has no idea. There's something totally mystical about art. And for a long time, I've always been involved in both and very interested in both of them. And for a long time, they were very separate from me. So once the band thing started to come toward a close, and I was actually the one that closed it down. I shut it down because I was like, I am ready to be done with touring for a while. I'm never doing rock and roll again. I'm going to fully dive into mysticism and all the different art forms that fall within that, you know, framework. And then I did that for 10 years. And during that 10 years, I've learned a lot and learned that they can coexist. So right now I'm actually kind of heading back into the world of music, but I did during that time also feel called. Like I feel like I have the ability to be someone who kind of helps people. I have like one of those like natural therapist personalities. And because of that, I wanted to use like the things that I'd learned and tarot, because it's really, I think it's super creative and you know, it's all visual and it's interesting and it's fun as a way to like help people through hard times and help people grow. And I think that, you know, as we're learning now on the world stage, we all need an upgrade. We all need to sort of grow and evolve. And I think that there's a way to do that that's very interesting and fun, and not just, it doesn't have to be steeped in self-help and that aesthetic, which is really grotesque to me. And I think that we're living in a time where self-help is kind of trendy. So tarot, I think, pulls people out of that and into this really interesting, like, self-acceptance over self-improvement, and in a way, and in that way, there's like an expansion of self, which is like just no bullshit, if that makes sense. I don't know if that was too ethereal a description, but I hope it answered your question.
Yeah, no, I'm tracking for sure. Well, it seems you said like the world stage today. Well, it seems, you know, people are looking for answers, but people are looking for, I guess, labels. People are looking for to solve for what their problems are, and sort of looking for that externally, as opposed to internally.
Yeah.
You know? So
right.
It sounds like your journey was more of an internal journey.
Yeah, my personal journey was, and so I kind of tried to share it. And for those for whom which it stuck, it maybe did, but I'm kind of also, and I guess maybe I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, but I'm kind of like ready to serve people in another way, which is, you know, going back into the music world as opposed to doing it in this mystical way, because I do think it's been a little, you know, once the mainstream gets, you know, how do I put this? You know, as we know, the fringe always affects the mainstream. And when that happens, sometimes things can get really watered down. And, you know, with yoga and mysticism, tarot, even this whole self-care time period that we're in, it can be a little much. And once you see things reduced to memes and people like reading those memes and thinking like, yeah, that, and you know, or the like 5 or 10 things about blah blah, and then it just gets to the point where, while I still like to do this, I also think that maybe my service lies in making music and channeling that spark of divine creativity in that way again.
You know, I really am tracking. I think I think social media has kind of done this weird thing where it's kind of dumbed down. Sort of, it's like I don't know, it's like fast food of like self help or psychology or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I was trying to say. And on one hand, I think it's great because more and more people are realizing that there are, more people are paying attention to the elusive realms, which can like really help us when we recognize like when we master ourselves. But I also think that it's being used in a way that's like, yeah, sort of dumbing it down, as you said.
To build on what you're talking about as far as like servicing, you know, with music, and I do say, just to reference one song, I don't know, I wasn't planning to do this, but it feels relevant. You know, we're obviously, there's interesting political times, but if you take a song like I Am Pentagon, which obviously there's a lot of play on words, and that's a great song, great bass line too.
Thanks.
A lot of play on words, but it says so much without prescribing a specific point of view, and there's something magical about that. I was listening to that literally this morning. That song, it really says a lot, but it's not necessarily guiding you in a specific direction. I feel like nowadays there's too much specific and prescriptive guidance, and there's something magical about that. So, and it made me think of that when you said servicing with music.
Oh my God, I love that you said that. You're totally right, and that just feels more my style. And it's interesting that you say that because I've always seen Ian is a total mystic. He has no idea. I mean, of course, I've probably said that to him before, but I mean, so many lyrics that come out of him just quite naturally are steeped in those elusive realms, and they come through. And I think it's cool. And I think it's cool when people can hear it and see it and understand it. That is, and how, you know, however that might affect a person. And that's why, music, I mean, think about how many people, or think about you yourself, how many times you have been totally moved, inspired by art. I mean, that's art's purpose.
Yeah. And it's like a painting or a song. It can't always be, you know, delivered in a 120 character, like tweet, you know,
exactly.
I mean, there's something about like taking it in, you know, staring at a piece of art, listening to music. There's something.
No,
or even, you mentioned therapy. I mean, you know, we've all had our probably stint with therapists, you know, psychiatrists, et cetera, psychologists. But sometimes if you're just strumming like the E minor chord, sometimes that does more than talk therapy.
Oh my God. So totally. You're totally right. I mean, I this could be a whole subject in and of itself.
It really could.
It really could, actually. I actually started writing a book about it. But, it's like Alejandro Jodorowsky says, for art to be art, it has to heal. And I think that there are many levels and many ways that you can interpret that, you know, the word healing, because that's another term that's been thrown around a lot lately. But, yeah, there is just something special about true art. And I think it's because something I said earlier, like we interpret these snippets of creative universal energy. They come into us, and each person has their ability to, you know, they mold it in the way, in the form that it needs to be, and put it out into the world. And people imbibe it and interpret it on their own and in different ways. And it's, I think it's so amazing.
Yeah, it's like sort of, you know, sort of accepting the oneself and then giving it out to the universe and not necessarily expecting people to like it or hate it. Just, here you go. Here's my art.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm excited that the fact that you're going to, your journey is taking you back to music more. Well, do you, you know, you've collaborated with so many different musicians. Do you still keep in touch with many folks that you played with?
Pretty much, yeah. From time to time, I don't think I've ever really fallen out of touch with any of the people that we've collaborated from the time I started playing back in Olympia till now.
That's awesome.
Which is nice. It's great. It's a family. You know, I feel like these kinds of situations, from the people that you collaborate with, people that you're in a band with, and the people who make up the community with, you know, around you, you know, obviously a family, and that kind of just doesn't really ever go away.
Awesome.
And that's
one
good thing about social media, because you can actually really keep in touch with people that might be far away.
I just wanted to say thank you. And like I said before, I am huge fan. Like, I mean, I'm excited that you're getting back to music. I think that, you can do so much, and you have such a great network and community. And I mean, God, Ian is,
yeah.
I did meet him once. Actually, I was at the Vera Project, chatted with him briefly. God, he is a very interesting guy. So smart.
yeah, definitely.
He's the real deal, isn't he?
He's the real deal. You know, that guy is the real deal. He is an entertainer. He's a celebrity. He's like an authentic celebrity.
You are too, though, you know.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you for all of your kind words and for reaching out to me for this. I really appreciate it.
Well, of course. Yeah, of course, Michelle. Well, thanks for chatting, and looking forward to your music and wherever your journey brings you. And I would love to talk to you again soon.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
The freedom of speech.
Destiny of civilization.
You can all raise your hands once again if you can't hear me, because I can only see you. I can't.